Morning. So I'm so glad that Tina read the Christmas story from Luke this morning for the kids. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Actually, I have a lot of questions to ask this morning. So let's start with number one. If, you know, let's take the Christmas story. And who are all the characters, the usual characters in the Christmas story? Jesus, yes. Great. Good answer. Mary, Joseph, wise men, three wise men, shepherds, angels, messenger angels, choirs of angels, Holy Spirit. Oh, that's a good one. Pardon? The innkeeper, star. Okay. No, every story has to have its characters, right? What's a story without characters? Okay. Get ready for a show of hands. How many of you would like to be shepherds? If you had to play a part in the story, how many of you would want to be shepherds? Okay, a few lowly, humble people here. How many of you would like to be Mary? One bold person there. One person full of faith. Thanks, Kaya. How many would like to be Joseph? Joseph's an easy part. No words to speak. You know, just see dreams and go do it. Lucas wants to be Joseph. Good job. And let's see, Dave back there. Thanks, Dave. How many would want to be the one of the three wise men? Oh, Floyd, good. If you take us for that one. Oh, yeah. How many would want to be Herod? Oh, come on. Somebody's got to be Herod. Herod's not so merry men. Somebody's got to play those parts. What about Angel Gabriel, who brings the messages? Oh, yes, a few takers. And who are we missing? Innkeeper. Oh, Lucas wants to be innkeeper, too. Wow. I think you can pull off both. Innkeeper here, Joseph here. Okay. But you get the point. There's characters, right, in stories? Okay. We're talking today about the greatest story. And I suppose you're suspecting that the greatest story is the Christmas story. But where does the story begin? Luke starts it, like Tina read, with Mary. Or actually, he starts it, I think, with Elizabeth and Zachariah before that. Matthew starts it with Joseph. Actually, he starts it with Abraham. He starts off with Abraham begat so-and-so and so on and so forth. Mark starts off with John the Baptist in the wilderness. John starts off with in the beginning, or in other words, in Genesis. So he starts off with creation. Where does the story begin? Huh? Creation? As far as we know, there's probably more to it that we don't know, but the known part of the story begins with creation. True. Where does the story end? Oh, hang on. Let's look at, you know, creation. why does the story begin with creation? Jesus was there then. And then if we say the story begins with creation, then it, you know, there's Adam and Eve, there's the fall of man, there's Noah, there's the flood, there's Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, sorry, Joseph, David, so on and so forth. And why is all of that important to the story? Because if you just suddenly started with, you know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it makes very little sense, right? Why Jesus? Why does God, the creator of, or, you know, if you don't even know who the creator of the universe is, what is the point? Okay, let's hold that for later. I'll ask you to quote it later. But there's a point to why the story begins with creation, right? There's a point to why we know that this is a God who created the universe, the heavens and the earth and everything in it. This is a God who desired to have a relationship with man. And this is what happened. This is how the world was broken. And here is God's plan to not just fix it, but to make everything new. And then where does the story end? It doesn't, okay? Well, let's change the question a little bit. What if we looked at it as different episodes in a series, okay? So where does this episode end? Or where does the next one begin? When Jesus returns, when the king comes back. So we realize that it's not just Jesus the little baby, although that's nice and cute and cuddly, right? At Christmas time especially. But it's Jesus who also went on to walk the earth, call people to follow him, fix a crew of 12 really motley characters. You know, if you're looking at characters in a story, there's a crew of really, really strange characters. If you look into their histories, you know, a couple fishermen here, a couple tax collectors, couple zealots who would have been rebels back in the day, really interesting creatures. Not people that you or I would probably pick today. And fortunately for us, because there's a part there that that affects us when we realize why he picked them. But he picks these people. And then the really strange part is that the king, at that point, the person who was supposed to be the king of the Jews, then goes on to allow himself to be killed. You know, somebody put the story this way, cradle, cross, crown. You know, he allows himself to be killed and then resurrects again. And it's a really, really interesting story. And I believe here's the part why we call it the greatest story. Because if you look at just the Christmas story, there's a lot of stories that are better than that. If you just took the story out of Luke and just read the part that we read today, it's a good story, but it's only a part of a bigger story. If you just took that part, it's just a nice bedtime tale, right? But it's much bigger than that. In fact, I believe this is the greatest story of all time. And like we said, it starts with creation and it keeps going. We know that the next episode begins when Jesus returns, and Jesus gave us some clues about what's going to happen before he returns, and then he gave us some clues through John what's going to happen before he returns. But we really don't know what happens after that. You know, like John says in 1 John 3, we know we are children of God, but we don't know what we will be. And that's a great mystery. You know, there's that suspense there. We don't know what the next episode's going to be like, really. There's a lot of suspense there, which is good. Makes you want to be there, right? But I think here's the really cool part. You know, we looked at some of the characters in the Christmas story, and then we looked at some of the characters in some of the background, the previous episodes, Adam, Eve, you know, all the way through. The really interesting part is when Jesus came to this earth, the people around him, those who believed in him, thought he came for the Jews, and he did. He did come for the Jews. He was a Jewish Messiah. He came for the Jews. But God's plan was so much bigger than just the Jews. And he included all of us in that. So what's that verse, Tracy? Exactly. Whosoever. And these are Jesus' words we're quoting here. It's not something somebody else made up about him. He says this of himself, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And as he goes on to teach his disciples, eternity is only eternity with him. So it's about a relationship with him. And it's about knowing him. It's about being with him, both now and forever. Here's the really interesting part that a lot of us don't get sometimes. Like Chester said, the story doesn't end. It hasn't ended yet. You know, sometimes we talk about the Christmas story being the greatest story ever told. The really good part is that the story is not told yet. That's only a bit of the story. There's a lot of it that's not even written yet, at least not humanly written yet. And the really, really good part about it is that whosoever, which includes you-soever and me-soever as well, we all get to be a part of the story. We all get to be characters in the story. And so if you looked at it as this great drama or play, there's all these empty spots still waiting to be filled. There's all these empty roles still waiting to be filled, okay? And there's all these people that haven't been cast yet in their roles, and some have been. And the wonderful part about it is that there's a part for you and for me. There's a part that was written just for you and for me. Isn't that amazing? So although Kaya would love to be Mary, there's a Kaya part that Kaya gets to be, right? And it's the same for every one of us. There's a Ken part, there's an Elsie part, there's a Connie part, there's a Tracy part, right? There's a Colton part, there's a Johnny part. And there's many Johnny parts, so there's a me Johnny part and you Johnny part, you know. There's a part for every one of us in the greatest story, and that's what makes it the greatest story, because there's a part for every single human being, and we get to choose whether to play it or not. You know, the story doesn't just end with whosoever believes, that's the beginning. You got to choose to play your part. But then it continues with us walking out our part in this life, and then we don't know what it's going to be like in episode 2. There's a part there too, we believe. And I love the part of the Christmas story where Mary says, how can this be? You know, and for some of us, we don't believe that we are good enough or able enough or that it's even possible for us to play the part that God has cast us in. You know, sometimes we don't even want to think about it. Sometimes we don't even want to know what our part is because we go, oh, it's going to be too much. It's going to be too big. You know, there's all these heroes in the Bible doing all these amazing things, and I don't know if I'm not that kind of person, right? But what does the angel tell Mary? Don't be afraid, because, yeah, with God, all things are possible. It's not just about you or me running off and trying to play our own little parts all by ourselves in our little corners. It's just like Mary. You know, Mary is a type there. Just like God assigned Mary this part to play, and she said, I can't do it. How is that possible? It's impossible. And God says, the Holy Spirit will be upon you, and this will happen. And with God, all things are possible. It's the same for you and me. We have a part to play. It's a part that's impossible. It's a part that is beyond anything you or I can imagine for ourselves. Really. When I was a kid, I would never have imagined the life I have lived and the adventures the Lord has taken me and our family through. I would have called it a crazy, impossible fairy tale. Okay? So let me assure you that there's a part for you and for me still that is impossible and is beyond anything that we can imagine on our own. And it's only possible because Jesus made it possible for the Holy Spirit to be upon each one of us to play our parts. And with God, all things are possible. And that's what makes this the greatest story ever. Because the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, will overshadow me. Jesus becomes God with us, God in you and me. And he makes it possible for us to play this part that nobody else can play because it was cast just for you. Just for you. Can you believe that? Can you get a hold of that and let that sink into your heart? That the God who created the whole universe also wrote this beautiful story. And for every one of the 7.6 billion people living on the earth today and the people who will live, there is a part that he has scripted. Of course, he gives us some creative freedom with that too. Just as all actors playing parts get to play. But can you imagine that he thought of you, he scripted you, and he has a part for you to play. And he doesn't just let you do it alone. He makes it possible for you to do impossible things, for you to be an impossible person, just like he created you to be. So let's look to the Lord here and thank him for this amazing story. Let's thank him for this amazing part that he scripted for you, for me. Some of us haven't found it yet. Some of us don't know what our part is yet. Some of us are in the process of discovering it. But I believe it all begins with that whosoever, where we believe, first of all, that God thinks you are significant, you are important, that he already made it possible for you and for me. He didn't just come for the Jews. He didn't just come for Christians. There weren't no Christians back then. He came to the world, the entire world, all people. Lord Jesus, this morning as we remember you, coming down to this world for each of us. Our hearts are filled with thanks. Our hearts are filled with amazement at your infinite love, at your infinite plans. Lord, at your infinite purposes for each of us. And Lord, that you would even think of each one of us, that you would even think of me and choose us to play a part in your great story. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, for those of us here who have not found you yet, have not answered your call yet. Lord, give us the grace to just humbly come to you. Open our eyes, we ask, to see your love for us. Lord, we ask that, Lord, that you would help us know you, that you would help us put aside our doubts, our fears, and just simply come to you as we are. And we thank you that your arms are open wide. And so if that's you, just pray with me, Lord. I simply come as I am to you. And I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that you said that whoever believes in you shall have eternal life. Lord, that's me. I believe in you. And Lord, for all of us here, we choose to believe in you every day of our lives. We choose to receive your eternal life. We choose to receive your plans, your purposes, which are so much bigger than our dreams. In our desires. And Lord, we all realize that this is impossible, that what you're calling us to is impossible and is beyond us. And so, Lord, we acknowledge that we need you, we need your Holy Spirit. And Lord, together we say, Lord, we believe that all things are possible with you. And so we thank you, Lord. All things are possible with you. Thank you, Lord. O Lord God of infinite power, of infinite might, of infinite love, of infinite majesty, of infinite grace and patience and kindness towards us, we thank you. And we give ourselves to you, play our parts in your wonderful, amazing story here on earth and for eternity. Because we know you and we know your goodness and your love. And we know that your plans, your purposes are perfect and beyond anything we could desire on our own. So we thank you together in Jesus' name. Amen.